Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad that you're here with us, especially as we begin this new adventure that we do today called Dig Deep. Now, before we do that, just want to do a time here of recognition and celebration. Today is our Muskego campuses, so Fox River Muskego's one-year anniversary. So can we give them just a big shout-out right now and a congratulations, guys. We are so happy for what God's doing there for you. And today just happens to be Fox River Waterford's two-year anniversary. So I think we ought to, again, let them know how we rejoice with what God's doing down there as well. Some really cool things. Before I get to the teaching today, I'd like to just extend four invitation challenges to you as a part of our Fox River family here. So let me just jump right into those. Over these next several weeks, first thing I want to ask you to do, number one, is this. Would you please prioritize being able to be with us for our Dig Deep teachings that we're going to be doing? For some reason you happen to miss, if you'll get to the website to go and watch it online as soon as you possibly can, we want to keep you current with what's going on and very engaged in this adventure. Number two, we want to invite you to join with us now in reading through the New Testament together as a family here. On the way in, you may have been able to grab one of your books, Dig Deep. This is your guide to be able to take you through that. If you didn't, please grab one on the way out. You'll notice in there also there's a bookmark that has all of our different reading assignments that will take you through the entire New Testament in the next 9 weeks. I love the plan that we've put together here, how we're doing some in the Gospels and some in another part of the New Testament together. It will be a very engaging thing to do. One other note, it's almost a gift, if I could put it that way, would be if you would go either to our website or download our mobile app. You can put it on, your iPad devices, you can get it on your smartphones that way. What you'll find on there is not only the reading plan, but it would actually have the readings there for you. So you could read the Bible right off of that, or it has audio on there as well. You could listen to the passages of that day that's on there. So if you haven't done that, really easy to do. Just download the app, Apple, Android, all of those will work great. Or again, just go to the church website, and that's there to serve you as well. But I hope that you will take this challenge. And hear me, you can do it. Quick question, how many have at some time read through the entire New Testament? Now, no shame here at all, but how many have done that at some point in your life? Can I just see hands? All right, great. For those that haven't, this will be an adventure. For those that have, the second, third, fourth, or in my case, umpteenth time of doing it will be better than the last. So you don't want to miss out on that as well. All right? Third invitation or ask challenge that I would have for you would be that during this Dig Deep series that you will participate in a group that we have here at Fox River. Now, you heard me talk about last week the value of being in a small group and what that can do for you, what that will bring into your life. If you're interested, open to being a part of one of our small groups here, again, we've got them like on every day of the week and all sorts of groups, please stop by our journey table as soon as the service is done and let them know. They'll, get you set up that way or put on your communication card right now. Help me find a group. We'll have somebody contact you this week as we're getting started to do that. If you're a high school student, we've got three groups going right now for you, and I hope that you'll be a part of one of them. Again, for all that it will bring into your life. So as a high school student, if you're not sure again how to do that, just put high school on the back of your card and group. We'll contact you and let you know where they're meeting, what's taking place there. I'm also going to do, with Pastor Rob, we're going to do a Dig Deep class. So we'll do one of them on Wednesday, one of them on Sunday. So if you couldn't be a part of a group, though I think always a group is the best way to go, we're going to have a little bit larger class that we would invite you into. So on Wednesday, 6:30, I'll be leading that one. I invite you. If you're not a part of a group, to join me in that. If you're planning on that or you're thinking about that, again, take your card right now so we can plan appropriately and just put on there, you know, class, Wednesday, we'll count on having you with that. If Sunday night works better, then you can do the one with Pastor Rob on Sunday night and just put class Sunday night. We begin this Wednesday, so the Wednesday night one does. The Sunday night one is a week from today, so for your planning purposes with that. But we'd love to have you in some sort of a group. And then number four, fourth invitation and ask, will be to join us in helping now to fund our Field of Dream vision. Now, I know most of you have got a little bit of inkling, at least to something going on this way, because if you looked at the new program that we had, and on the back there, there's this little Field of Dreams, you know, tear off that's on there. So I know you got a little bit of an idea, like, you know, there's something going on here. So let me just take a moment or two and talk about that. Our vision here, and this correlates directly now to our Field of Dreams, our vision is to be able to impact thousands of children and hundreds of families. One of the ways that we are going to be able to do so is by utilizing what we have now, what we'd call it our undeveloped gold mine of potential that sits right next to us. So we own these 24 acres, and we're now ready to take that 24 acres of beans that you'll see on the way out today and turn the field of beans into the Field of Dreams. So that's, you know, kind of what we're thinking. One of the tools that we want to utilize then immediately, and again, by next year, we'll be able to expand a current program we have here now called Upward. Upward now, because of our facilities, we've only been able to do with our basketball and cheerleading. Through this, we have reached and impacted hundreds of children and scores of families. But we know that we can do more. If you've been a part of Upward, you know the potential, the impact that this program alone has. For those of you who haven't, just a little bit again about what we see God bringing to us with potential. We've just tried to capture in this video, so let me just show it to you real quick.
My name is Billy and I am 5.
My name is Jacob and I'm 8.
I play the Upward basketball.
My favorite part of Upward basketball is the celebration at the end of the year.
My favorite part was making baskets.
My name is Audrey and I am 9 years old. I played basketball and I did Upward cheerleading. My favorite part of Upward was probably when it was my first year of basketball and I'm at the last minute, last game, I made my first basket. I got to play with my friends at basketball and it was really fun.
I think Upward provides that opportunity for kids who don't go to church as a regular basis with their family to be part of a community of athletes who are focused on playing the game but also focused on learning more about God. And, you know, at least once a week they have that opportunity if it's not part of their regular life.
I really enjoyed when my kids would come home and bring home the words that they used as they got their starts, like Christ-likeness and honesty and teamwork. That just told me that they were listening during the times when they were given the stars and it was having an impact upon them.
I started with Upward as a coach of my daughter's team and transitioned into helping run the Waukesha location on Saturday game day events and on Tuesday as a practice coordinator for the entire gym. The opportunity to expand our program to include soccer and football is really critically important. When we see the kids come in and get involved in basketball and it's a 3-4 month season and then they go away, there's a desire for those kids to stay connected here at Fox River and through the Upward Sports program, and expanding that to include soccer and football in the future will just give us the opportunity to stay connected to those families and those kids year-round.
That's a very nice presentation that's there, for sure. But if you've been around here on a game day with Upward, you just feel the energy that's taken place. If you're here for the closing program, you hear story after story after story of impact that's being made in both children and family alike. So for us to be able to expand from basketball to the other outdoor and to go from one season to three seasons out there, we're very, very excited about what the potential, you know, just brings to us, and uniquely as a church as well in doing this. Now, here's what we're going to try to do in order to achieve this. Our desire would be able to ask 500 of us to be able to give $1,000 toward this project. So you take 500 at 1,000, and that gives us 500,000. Our hope is to be able to be underway, you know, to have all of this earthwork done, grass growing, and season started this coming year in 2015 that way. Now, there's a sense when we look at something like this, 500 to 1,000, that I would go, just as our pastor here, we could do this in one day. I mean, I know there's 500 of us say, yep, I'll give $1,000 to be able to do that. Now, I was going to be careful as a leader that I don't get, you know, just cavalier about something like that. Like $1,000 isn't a significant thing that's taken place or that we shouldn't pray about it, because we all need to be able to do that. We know that there are some that you do $1,000 if you could, but there is just no earthly way. God has not enabled you to be able to do that. So please don't feel any, you know, guilt about that pressure at all. But I do want to encourage you to participate, because all of us can have a part in this vision. For those of us that can do the 1,000, it's like, well, great, that's what I want to do. Some of us will be able to do, and you know, I've been praying that we'll get at least 10 of us that can do 5,000. Five of us that can do 10,000 or more. I mean, if God's blessed us in that way, to be able just to, you know, kind of step right into this. As you've seen, or as you will see, if you just look at that, you know, a little commitment card there, you may be able to do it just in one shot. You want to stretch that out over the next 6 months. All of that's good, and we'll be deeply appreciative for everybody that just joins us in the vision. But we don't want to miss the vision piece. The vision, of course, is this, that we could impact thousands more children and hundreds more families that way. So you can see, we've got quite an adventure framing up in front of us, which makes me go back to the very first of the ask. And that is, will you please prioritize joining us over these next 5 weeks for our Dig Deep series? Because Jesus has a dig deep desire for each and every one of us. And let me just kind of move into our teaching time, very abbreviated today, but we'll be able to work with what we've got right here. What is it that Jesus would want for us as we dig deep? You know that phrase, kind of a colloquialism, dig deep, I was reminded of just recently. I started about a month ago something called CrossFit. Heard of CrossFit? You know, so CrossFit, it's really challenging. I like it a lot. But I was there the very first time, and they said to me, come on, guy, dig deep. Now, that, of course, you know, that caught my attention. But what I realized they were asking me or saying to me, dig deep, they're saying like, hey, you've got more in you than you're currently utilizing. You know, dig deep. You hear that? Dig deep. You've got more in you. We want to help you to discover it and to be blessed by it. Now, I don't think the gym I'm at necessarily going to say, and be blessed by it. But the correlation we're going to pick up on very quickly. When Jesus comes to us and says, I want you to dig deep, I know that you have more in you than you realize, and I want you to be able to discover it and to be blessed by it. Now, what is it that Jesus wants for every one of us? Let me just use a couple of questions to kind of move us to that point together, real quickly. Three questions here. First question is this. Can you go to church and not be a Christian? Yes or no? Real simple. Can you go to church and not be a Christian? What do you think? Yes or no? Yeah, that would be possible, right? You can go to church and not be a Christian. Question number two. Can you be a Christian? You thought I was going to say not go to church, right? No, not going to say that. Yeah. Can you be a Christian and not be a disciple of Jesus? Think about that for a second. Can you be a Christian but not yet be a disciple of Jesus? What do you think? Yes or no? Okay, little mixed answers, and that's okay. You know, because you might go like, well, here's why I think what I think about that. I would say you can. You could be a Christian and not yet be a disciple of Jesus. Third question. Again, here's what we're asking, and this is where we're, you know, everything kind of funneling down to this. Does Jesus want you, kind of circle this, you. Does Jesus want you to be a disciple of his? And you don't have to say out loud yes or no, but answer that to yourself. Now, I'm not asking you, do you think you can be? I'm not asking you, do you think you can cut it? I'm not asking you, do you think you've got what it takes to be a disciple? I'm not asking you, I'm just going like, do you think Jesus invites you, wants you to be a disciple of his? Let's take our Bibles for a second and turn to a very, very, very meaningful statement of Jesus. Not that some of his statements weren't meaningful, but this one even more so. It's found in Matthew chapter 28. And if you got your Bible or pew Bible, and by the way, if you've got a Bible that you're actually going to be reading through, bring it with you to church. Love to have you there. As you're working in it, making a couple notes in the Bible that you're reading through the New Testament in over these next several weeks together. In verse 18, we read these words, then Jesus came to them and said, now, this is what's unique about this meeting. At this meeting, it is just after Jesus has resurrected. And he has called for this meeting. He's gotten all of his followers together to talk to them after he has resurrected. It's taking place up in Galilee. I mean, think about that. Like, all the followers are there. Jesus steps out, and here's what he says. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And everybody's going like, awesome. And they really meant that. Awesome, incredible. Now, Jesus' words, therefore, in other words, because of all this, because of this, go and make disciples everywhere, all nations, baptizing them. It's reference there again, just believer's baptism. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Now, theologians have referred to this as the Great Commission. In other words, Jesus telling people, this is what I want for you. In other words, I want you to go and I want you to make, say it with me. Yeah, my desire is that everywhere you're helping to make disciples. Did you know that the New Testament was written to disciples? In fact, the New Testament is written to disciples, by disciples, to help disciples. You're going to see the correlation real quickly, right? If we're reading through the New Testament, you're reading now something that's written to disciple, for disciples, to help them and by. It's all about that. In fact, it's not trivia, but you could note just this statistic that way. The term disciple is the term that's used to describe one who has trusted Christ in the New Testament. In the New Testament, disciple is used over 260 times, 269 to be exact. So if you're doing circles every time you come to disciple, if you're reading through the New Testament, you're going to have a lot of circles to go back to, a lot of information there. Interestingly, the term Christian, kind of what we use today, right? The term Christian in the Bible is used three times. Only three times that it gets, you know, pointed out that way. So what we have done in kind of generalizing it today, and today, you know what? A Christian could be a lot of things, right? You know, big bucket for Christian. Disciple, seems like the bucket's a little bit smaller. It's a little bit more defined. In fact, if I were to ask you, does it really cost you anything to be a Christian today? What would you say? No, or not much, right? But if you want to be a disciple, well, maybe there's, you know, something else that's going to go with that. So if Jesus has this desire for us, he may even tell us, I want you to dig deep here now, spiritually in your life. Well, the things that we're going to want to be able to understand, share with another person would be these, right? So what is a disciple? How does a person become a disciple? And then really the critical question about disciple after that. So let's tick them off real quickly, shall we? What is a disciple? The word that is used in the Bible, mathetes, what Jesus always used there. Mathetes meant these two things. First of all, a disciple was a learner. Synonymous. If you're a disciple, it means you're a learner. But don't think of this in the student sense of the word. You know, I'm a learner to learn, to be able to take a test and pass a test. That would not be it. A learner would be in this sense. It would be an apprentice. Now today we still have apprenticeships in some of the trades. And what you do if you become an apprentice, you're there to learn in order to be able to do. You go back a little further in history and you find that all of careers, disciplines were built around this apprentice idea. Whether you're a banker, a doctor, you know, goldsmith, you know, whatever it was you did. You found somebody that could teach you how to do, how to be this thing, right? The other side of this, and it really, you know, kind of runs right alongside of it, is this. A disciple was a follower. Disciples in this active, wasn't passive, wasn't distance. You couldn't do an online class for discipleship in Jesus' day. But you actually had to be a follower because a follower was a practitioner. Practitioner, one who was, you know, watching, learning, and then implementing. Look at Jesus' words here. In John chapter 13, this is actually at the Lord's Supper. Jesus said there that you call me teacher and you call me Lord. And he said, rightly so, because that is what I am. I am the teacher. I am your Lord. But he goes on to say this then. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. Say that with me. That you should do as... Do you see the practitioner? Do you see the apprentice? Do you see what it is that Jesus wants for us? He said, I want you to learn, watch me, see the things I've done, so that you're going to be able to do them in your life as well. A disciple, learner, follower, apprentice, practitioner. So, how do you become one? Now, I love these words and the way they're put together in the message in the book of Matthew. In fact, I actually put them on our handout sheet, so that you can just kind of take them and, you know, put them in a place that you'll revisit. In Matthew, Jesus said this. He goes, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? I want you to think about that. Does that describe you? The audience that Jesus was speaking to, these were practicing Jews. And everything that religion demanded of them, it was do, 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 do in order to earn God's favor. And he's like, you tired of that? You ready to give up religion for a relationship with God? Because that's what he's always wanted. Relationship is about trust. It's about opening yourself up for grace that's been done in your life. So if you want to be a disciple, Jesus, first of all, just come to me for what it is that I have to offer, not what it is for you, that you could do for me. He said, come with me, get away with me, and I'll recover your life. That is that life that's truly life that he is desiring for. He said, walk with me, work with me. As a, you know, we just, you know, continue to look into our passage there. He said, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Don't you love it? I'll show you how to take a real rest. These rhythms, I won't let anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Because that's our worry, right? If I come after Jesus, if I'm a disciple of his, it's going to be hard. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm going to fail. And Jesus is like, you don't understand what following me is. This is what I want for you. And then he just wraps up with these words, to keep company with me. I'll help you to learn to live freely and lightly. That's what Jesus wants. So how do I become a disciple of his? I mean, once you've come to him, given up religion for relationship, it's really just these two things, two requirements. One is there's desire. Two, there's a decision. Do you desire, I would like to be a disciple of Jesus? Okay, yeah, that's check number one. And then it's just a decision, just kind of this resolve. Then I will follow Jesus. I'll be an apprentice, I'll be a practitioner, I'll be a learner of his. And that's the only thing it requires. Which, if that's it, why so few? Why do you got this, like, everybody would say, well, I'm a Christian, right? But only a few that would say, I'm a disciple. What seems to be the glass ceiling to being a disciple? What's the barrier that keeps me from wanting to be a disciple? I think it would probably come to this. It's this question of, but is there a cost? Is there a cost to being a disciple of Jesus? If I just had to ask you yes or no, is there a cost for being a disciple? Tell me what you think. Is there a cost, yes or no? Okay, fair enough. Jesus is very upfront about being a disciple of his, this cost factor, if you would. Let's take a look at it together, just again, so we can see Jesus' words with this. It's found in Luke chapter 9. That would be page 1611, great, thank you, in the Pew Bible there. Jesus said this, whoever wants to be my disciple, you're going like, oh, that's me, you know, like, I'm there, desire, decision, like, whoever wants to be my disciple, he said, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Okay, so what's that mean? I have to deny myself, take up my cross daily, and follow him. What is Jesus saying there? He's basically saying these three things. The cost for being my disciple would be there's times you're going to have to deny yourself. In other words, there will be times in order to do what I ask you to do, in order to say yes to me, you're going to have to say no to yourself. And he said, that's just a realization that's important for us to keep in front of us. Saying yes to Jesus sometimes means it's in my life. It's like, I want to do this, but I know Jesus wants me to do this. I want to punish this person that's hurt me. Jesus wants me to forgive, right? And I'm going to have to say no to what I want to do if I'm going to say yes to what Jesus says. And as a follower here, it's okay, I'm going to say yes to him. So you need to take up your cross. In other words, you're going to have to need to identify yourself with me, to not be ashamed of my name, to identify being a disciple. Now, in the United States, there's really not much of a price here. I personally have a lot of friends around the world, a lot of guys that I teach over the summer. This is not the case for them. When they identify themselves as a follower of Jesus, a disciple of his, they are either persecuted or some, their lives are threatened. I can think of four whose lives were threatened just this past summer when we were over in Kenya there. So for them, the cost is a little bit more, to which they earnestly lean into. And then lastly, Jesus said, and follow me. Following him, now we're right back to that. In other words, and be a practitioner of mine. So we're up front. Like Jesus said, yeah, there's a cost of being a disciple of mine. But you know the question we never ask? The more important question is this. Not is there a cost to being a disciple, but what about this? But is there a cost for not being a disciple? You ever thought about that? Do I have to pay a cost? Is there a price that I'm paying today of non-discipleship in my life? And which cost is greater? Because we're always in a cost analysis, aren't we? Right? I mean, this is going to cost me, but this is going to cost me. You know, which is the greater cost? You know, and you're weighing these things out. That's what smart people do. Think about this. The cost of non-discipleship. To not be a disciple of Jesus, to not be a follower of his means not having these things that Jesus said his disciples will have. Not means not having abiding peace, like permeated by Jesus' love. Jesus' joy or happiness. Remember, we spent a lot of time talking about that. Hope that exceeds the troubles of our life. Means not having the assurance that God's working in the difficult times of your life for good. It's not having relief from the weariness and the burdens of life that Jesus just spoke to us about, those rhythms of grace. It's not having the flow of grace into our life. It's not having the Spirit's guidance. It's not having the Spirit's comfort in our life. We give up all of that if we choose not to be a disciple. No, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, the Christian thing, I'll be a Christian, but the disciple thing, I don't know about that. You know what? This is just a short list of the long list that goes on and on and on. Which cost is greater? The cost of being a disciple or the cost of not being a disciple? I think the longer we live, the greater the cost, the gap that comes between those again, which I'm not saying discipleship's for old people. Please don't hear me saying that. Jesus' initial followers primarily were all very young. But the more that you live, the more that you realize, what am I losing by not being a disciple of Jesus? And the fact we don't want to do that. So, takeaway, big takeaway. And that's this. It's a dig deep takeaway. There is so much more. Jesus says, there is so much more. Jesus says, dig deep to every one of us because there is, would you say these words with me? So much more. There is so much more waiting in the New Testament for you if you will just open yourself to it. Read it. Listen to it. You can do this. Jesus, there is so much more that I have for you as a disciple of mine. And I'll come alongside you. I'll help you to dig deep, to realize there is so much more in here. And as you discover it, he said, you will be blessed by it. Jesus never called you to be a disciple to put a notch in his belt. He called you, invited you to be a disciple of his because he loves you, because he wants life to the full, as he put it, for us. Ready to dig deep. Let's pray together, shall we? Thank you, Heavenly Father, that as a church, we have potential that if we will utilize, we're going to be blessed to see your kingdom expanding, and we're going to be the recipient of all kinds of collateral blessing. Today, as individuals, if there's anyone, Jesus, that hasn't yet made the transition from religion to relationship and coming to you, I pray that they will take you up on that invitation. For everyone that's trusted you, that they will take up the invitation of following you, of being a disciple of yours. And if that's your prayer, would you just tell that to Jesus right now? We look forward to what you're going to do in us and through us, Lord. And everybody in agreement here said, amen. I didn't mention, guys, failed to